Welcome back to this episode of the Strong Kind Podcast. This episode is with Will Rattell, Austin Yoakum, and Angus Bradley. These are three guys that I learned a tremendous amount from in 2024, purely from consuming their content and maybe having conversations. I had each one of them on my podcast over the course of the year, but from consuming content, consuming their YouTubes, and just listening to a lot of their messaging, and I really think they have good messages about strength and conditioning, also just like the body and managing expectations in the gym and all that type of stuff. They're also just interesting guys, which I had a lot of fun talking to them all. You can check out this episode. Let me know what you think about it. I appreciate you being here. Thanks so much. I learned the most, and I'm a physical therapist, which I don't really give a shit about, but I learned the most from this ragtag crew of humans right here.
That's dangerous.
That is. Dude, you just had Austin Baraki on. Like, you got to learn more from him.
And well, so Austin, I've known of barbell medicine for a long time. Austin's super freaking smart. That conversation was awesome. That dude's also like literally like curing people's blood diseases, right? Like, but you guys... breathed some fresh air into the boringness that really strength and conditioning is freaking boring. Like, but Austin is right. Like, innovation is not like, oh, if the best innovation is like sprinting, you need to sprint to run faster. It's like, we've screwed people up. Right. So I just wanted to bring these three guys on. And it is a very misfit group of people, but I've learned a lot from them. And I think this, it says something about, like, if you're a young strength coach or a young personal or physical therapist, and I got a lot of questions around this stuff, and I'll ask you guys, but freaking be different. Like, don't like censor yourself in ways to fit into like the bullshit of like the strength coach world, because it doesn't fucking help you. Right. Or the PT world. Not to say you need to be disrespectful or be an asshole. My name's Dave Strength and Kindness, for Christ's sake. Right. But Austin's like laughing. So I wanted this to be kind of a round table. But I want to start it up with like each one of you. Like, you're 2024. Like, what was 2024 about for each one of you individually? Like, what did you learn really quickly? Because I don't want this turning like a 7-minute diatribe, Angus. But like, what were the things that like maybe change? What did you maybe change your mind about or stuff like that? And then I'm gonna hit you guys with kind of quick hitters, and get each one of your takes, if that makes sense. Is that cool?
This is gonna be a 4-hour podcast. We're all gonna have 7-minute rants. You're fucked.
Wait, I got plenty of time. So, all right, Austin, let's start with you. What did you learn in 2024, if you're willing to divulge?
2024 was probably just getting back into training, man. Like, I felt like it was like a little burnt out and a little out of it. And the big thing about that was getting back into Oli lifts. And that's where I thought it was like the biggest thing for Oli lifts is it gave me a reason to go back to the gym and pursue something. I was kind of burnt out in all the other lifts that I was doing. And I was like, dude, I need to try something new. And I really like sucking at something and going from sucking at it to not sucking at it. And Oli lifts gave me a beautiful kind of like little journey to go do that. And for the light lesson there for me was like, it does matter what you're doing in the gym. But like, if you're not showing up to the gym, which I wasn't, because I was being a fucking degenerate piece of shit because I was burnt out of the gym. Like, if you don't show up to the gym, it doesn't matter what you do in the gym. And I was doing all the right things when I did show up to the gym, but I wasn't showing up. And then I started doing Oli's and I fucking loved the gym again. And I showed up 5 days a week and I got sick results. And it's that simple.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Angus.
I don't know. It was a tough year for me, especially like training wise. Like, I accomplished my main goal of traveling around the world and surfing more. But again, I'm always sort of pushing that you can bring up multiple qualities simultaneously. But the thing is, if you're going to do that, you actually have to train hard. And just like with my sprinting this year, it just got about like 3/4 of the way through the winter and the off season. I was like, if I am not making like pretty big improvements in my running next season, I'll know it's simply because I just didn't do enough of the work. And I did like completely restructure my business this year, went through some personal stuff. So in terms of the business and in terms of my thinking around training, like, it was a really good year for that. I felt like I really simplified things. I felt like for the first time in a long time, I actually blocked out. I I feel like I built my base just paying attention to what literally every other coach in the industry was saying, good or bad. I just wanted to know what people were saying about things. This is one of the first years where I've just been like, well, I'm getting really good results. I feel like I've jammed a lot of information into my head over the last couple of years. And as someone who's trying to just synthesize those thoughts and charge other people for education, I just really wanted to double down on like, what are my real thoughts on this with all the evidence and information that I've taken in? So it's been good. Like, I've just never felt more confident and like really just coming back to like talking to other coaches. I talked to, again, working in education, just working with so many insecure coaches. And I'm like, but are you getting results? And they're like, I'm getting great results. I'm like, what are you so fucking worried about, mate?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're getting results, and then you're hearing other coaches talk about this new whiz bang methodology. And it's like, they're not breaking world records. They're not getting progress that people haven't seen before, sort of thing. And I think that's so, yeah, like what I've really been thinking about this year, I'm like, is anyone really doing it that much better than anyone? Where they're like, oh, dude, I've nailed this. So like what I'm sort of interested in, especially now, is like, and this has been an emerging theme for a while, is like, how many ways can we do it? Because I know it's just not the optimal way.
Yeah.
And it's so many ways to fucking do it.
Yeah.
And so I just sort of think it's that thing, sort of going back to results-based training. Oh, but then again, actually, no, this is about to go into a fucking rant.
Yeah, I'm gonna cut you off because there's, okay, this is, I think what it sparks something before I kick it over to Will. The thing about you three dudes is that you're not trying to be somebody that you're not, and you're not like fake. You're not like, there's a lot of people, there's an air of like fakeness in their hype where it's like, Austin's just going around hitting softballs. Angus is just being fucking Angus. It's mostly because you're Australian. And Will's just a Will, you're just a freaking unit of a person. For like, literally, like, that's what it is. I think you said something like, I'm just pretty gifted, so it helps. But at one point in time, I remember you saying that. And it's like, dude, you're also like, again, those 2 minute YouTube videos, like, that's been, for my money, the most educational thing outside of just a few other things. Will, go to you really quick. Sorry.
I'm trying to answer this like, because the kind of the primary question is like, what did we learn, right? Yeah.
Or did your mind change about anything, or?
Yeah, get heated here, Will. Give me some good takes here.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say I like changed my mind on this or I learned anything, but I like experienced it firsthand. So like, I had a daughter in September of 2023. So on the tail end of 2023. So now she's 15 months, and like, geez, now I'm going to start talking shit about people. Do you guys know who Missy Mitchell Macbeth is?
Yes, bro. Oh my God.
Okay. So she put out a post on Instagram.
She's like Wendy.
Something about how like, I have the same 24 hours a day as you do. And it's not that hard for me to like get my exercise in 5 days a week or whatever it is. And so I clicked on her page and it's like, you're married. You don't have kids. You have four dogs. Your situation is that you have a home gym. You're in the industry of strength and conditioning. No, like your life surrounds training. It revolves around training. And saying like, I have the same 24 hours a day as you do. It's not hard to, I just make the right choice, which like, of course I'm a proponent of making the right choice to like be healthy and be physically fit and physically capable. But then like, okay, so I'm a parent now. I have a real job outside of just like content. Like I teach. My wife has a real job. We have a kid. We start to like become friends with other people who have kids. And like, no, you don't have the same 24 hour. Like I used to think that same thing when I was 25.
You
not
can if
married.
You're a piece of shit.
It's like, I could easily just look at someone who's overweight and be like, yeah, well, you're not making the right choices, which could be true. Like in the most real sense, it could be true, but it's this condescending tone that Missy Mitchell Macbeth, whatever her name is, made that post. And it's like, no, you're not 45 with four kids working 40 hours a week, running kids from baseball practice to dance recitals and stuff. Like, I think I've just become like much more aware of like how, I don't want to say how difficult it is, but how unrealistic it is to communicate. I don't know how to put this.
It's people are more constrained than
yeah
assholes.
Yeah.
Like assholes like the 22 version, a year old version of us, are like, we all got the same 24 hours. Or like, I can go, you know, at 23 years old, like I could go to the gym for 4 hours, right? And like, now I have a 3 month old, right? And it's like, I can go to my garage for an hour, but then I'm being a dick to my wife, right? Like, and
right,
I
exactly.
Right? So it's like, most of it is, Will, what you just said is that you've become a kinder human being, man, is what you're saying to the adult population out there that has legitimate constraints, right?
Yeah, well, I think what I've at least attempted to do in how I communicate, like, my content is I try to communicate it in such a way that, hey, this is a way that I'm providing some information that you can maybe find valuable and implement into your own situation, rather than this is the right way to do it, and kind of have this like condescending, self-righteous tone about I'm doing it the right way. If you know what I mean? I don't know. I don't have the right way to articulate my position on this right now, but now that I have a family and we're going to have another kid probably the next year and a half or 2 years, like I totally understand how it's not that easy for everyone. And I don't know.
I think that's so the thread that was common in all three of your answers is like, there's no freaking perfect way to do this. And which is what is typically construed or put forth on social media. Like, if you do it this perfect way, you're going to get all these results. Austin's completely right. If you have something that you enjoy doing, you're going to show up, which is way better than not showing up. Angus, I'm a big believer. I'm an apostle of good enough is good enough. And good enough will get you good enough results, and good enough for a long time gets you good results. And like, well, yeah, like, not everybody's the freaking same. Like, yeah, like you have a shit ton of time under tension, where like a lot of people, if you're 40 and you're just starting, like, you show up twice a week. That's way better than not, right? So I like that. Dude, all right. What? Go, Yoakum, go.
Yeah, yesterday on Angus's note, a dude paid me $100 for a consult, and the whole hour was, hey, I'm getting great results with my training, but these people are telling me it's not. And he was like legitimately concerned. He wasn't like condescending of like, these other people are saying, like, are they stupid? It was like, he was like, why am I still getting good results if these other people are saying it's stupid? And I'm like, dude, you have the data points right in fucking front of you that you're getting good results. Stop paying people to fuck it. Like, stop paying me to tell you.
Mental illness is rife in our field.
Dude, and it's just like the lack of confidence that Angus talked about. It's like, man, it's.
I did that with Angus, though, because
have a lot of chats towards that at the end. Well, like, and it's Dave because, was like, it's because can I run it myself? I was like, yeah.
Well, all right, let's talk about shiny object syndrome, right? What's the cure? Because that's what our field, that's what this field is. It's the rehab field. It's the strength and conditioning field. I saw a stupid promo for some stupid stretch band yesterday. I'm like, what the hell is this? That like somebody's selling, right? But how do we overcome, and Austin kind of answered it there. I'm going to start with Will, we'll go reverse order. Shiny object syndrome in our field, meaning like there's always a new program. There's always something different that you can do, right? How do you overcome that?
For myself?
And you and other people, yeah.
I don't know. I think, so I'm friends with Brandon Accardi. You guys all know Brandon.
Yeah.
And he's like, if you followed him, he's totally changed his philosophy. And I think Brandon is super smart, and we text all the time. We bullshit all the time. And like, I think he's totally dead wrong on a lot of the stuff he's been doing lately. But like, because I respect him and he is a really smart individual, like Austin, you sent me that one post of him and he's like, you're like, am I wrong or is Brandon wrong? And I was like, nah, Brandon's fucking wrong on this. I think that's an example. Like, I just because I respect Brandon and I know he puts a lot of thought into everything. I would say he's a lot smarter than I am. And I see him doing all this like velocity based training stuff, tracking certain metrics, all these acceleration metrics and impulse and whatever all of it is. I'm still like not convinced by his arguments and Zach's arguments on what they're doing. But it like makes me question like, fuck, what am I missing it? If I don't think I am, I think they're wrong.
Yeah. No, like the what am I missing it is the biggest thing. Am I missing the secret to the gains, right?
All of the stuff that Brandon and Zach are like talking about and posting about, that's the kind of shit that me and Brandon did like a podcast making fun of like a year and a half ago.
Yeah. And I talked to Zach and like, here's the thing. Like, okay, this is my riff and I'm going to try to shut up. It's all belief. It's belief in what you're doing. Do I believe in what I'm doing? If I believe in what I'm doing and I keep freaking 100%. Doing it and I'm constantly taking in the data, it probably is going to work for you. Right. And a big thing is somebody like me, I beat the shit out of myself and I don't know how to like not do that to some extent, because I will like, let's say a snatch day, bars moving like shit, and I'll still try to PR or still try to max out. And then you have a bad snatch day, and then that feeds forward into, well, I suck at this, right? And like, it's, you know, and some of that's like, Yoakum's a good example of that, because I think he just missed like 30 reps in a row one day and then like finally snagged one. And that's like the power of
that's
the
that's every day.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right, Angus, what's your thoughts?
I think so. My whole worldview, again, we've already brought it up, is that there is no optimal way. So that's the easiest way to not get FOMO when you see a new method emerging that might be a popular thing on social media or something like that. And also, so once you know that there's a million ways you can skin this cat, then it allows you to make this deliberate decision to develop effective methodology that is like specific to your brand, or it's something that you particularly vibe with. And you could just explain that to people. It's like, well, look, there's so many, we all know that there's more than one way to train. This is my way to train. It gets really good results. And, you know, this is the community that I'm sort of creating. And I think a lot of people criticize, and rightly so, the revolving sort of fads in the fitness industry. Like, how many times are we going to see self-myofascial release sort of come around as a warm-up protocol and people getting into foam rolling? But then the other thing I'll say is, like, every single time these fads come back around, whether it's VBT or foam rollers, they come back around in more sophisticated ways that are probably still incorrect to some degree. But we have a lot of people foam rolling now, and you go up and you're like, mate, don't you know, you're not doing anything to the fascia. You're just sending like a neurological message, and you might reduce some tone or modify some symptoms. And people are like, yeah, I know, cunt. Like, sorry for swearing, but like,
you can like, say
that's awesome. How good's that? Like, fucking a couple of transient changes, and people are like, oh, well, don't you know your hip IR is just going to go straight back if you don't train? It's like, can't, I'm going into some training after this. What the fuck are you talking about? So, you know, like I said, we so many of the times something we find out it isn't what we thought it was, so we throw it in the dumpster for a little bit. And it's more like dragging it back out of the dumpster, be like, oh, I was wrong about this, but it's still a really good tool. And they just sort of bring it back in. Then people are like, oh my God, foam rolling's coming back again. Oh, eye rolling. It's like, well, nah, like let's see how people are talking about it this time.
Yeah.
So that's really what I've leaned into. I'm like, this is our way of doing it. And if you want to train another way, kindly go elsewhere.
Yeah. That's a good, I like that. Austin.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, I think if I didn't have Jake and Will in my corner, I think I would end up being a fucking seedman 100%. My mushroom brain would just go into fucking these 1% rabbit holes that would just, like, I think is fucking amazing. And actually, like the gratitude I have for Jake and Will, just, like, the black and white, like, no, dude, like, stay in the fucking reality is actually super helpful. But the sports performance side of things, the one thing that has, like, absolutely changed my worldview on all of sports performance is softball. And it sounds so fucking stupid, but softball has made me such a better coach, because I was getting in, and I still believe in like all of the knowledge that I've gained, but I was getting really into the skill acquisition stuff, really into the emergent stuff, to the point where I was outsmarting working hard. Like, I wasn't working hard because I was like, oh, it's off a tee. Like, that's not live. That's not a real environment. It's not against the defense. And I was thinking all these things. It's like, dude, you just fucking suck. Something is better than nothing. And like all of these kids, like, they have so much information that they end up doing nothing because they're not doing something optimal. And that's another thing. It's like, once you meet enough of your heroes in the field, once you meet enough smart people in quotations, you realize again that nobody has the answer. And all of these people are I don't want to say they're bullshitting, but it's like, it's one, most people will tell you they also don't have the answer, even though you think they have the answer from the outside looking at it. And then two, that like, they're not producing the absolute results. So it's like, we're not as smart as we think we are. And other people are absolutely not as smart as we put them on pedestals to be. And a lot of it just comes down to what you were saying, belief in what you're doing is showing up. And once I committed to 100 swings a day, and I'm on like year two of 100 swings a day every single day. And it's, dude, it completely changed my swing. Regardless of if it's an optimal skill acquisition session or not, I show up every single day, get 100 swings, and it's completely transformed everything I do. And now I think about that, okay, with my athletes, what really matters? It's getting the 100 reps in that day. It's getting the reps in that day. It's showing up that day. And then from there, you will get smarter. From there, you will realize the 1% of things that you need to look at rather than trying. And I think this is what a lot of people do. It's like they try to look for the special, they try to look for the fix on the front end, but they don't have enough data points to know what their actual fix fucking is. And especially in the skill acquisition world, it's like you're trying to adjust things in your swing, but you don't know where you suck at your swing because you haven't taken enough swings yet. And now it's like, I have so many data points in my swing that I can adapt it instantly and put a different drill. I can put the special drill in there that'll actually help me and actually help the athletes that I'm working with on their swing in that moment because I have enough reps. And now, so that's where that 1%, that's where the shiny object comes into play for that fix. But I think a lot of people start with the shiny object. Obviously, the shiny object doesn't work, or you have a survivorship bias where it works for like one out of the 100 athletes that you're working with. And then you swear it's the shiny drill rather than the reps that it took to get to what that shiny drill meant in that moment.
Have any of you guys read The Inner Game of Tennis by Timothy Galli?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Austin, that's what you're talking about, right? Basically, like,
oh, yeah.
Fucking play the game. Like, it was great because I've been playing more tennis, and I asked one of the guys, like, how to hit a better topspin forehand. And he's like, how long you been doing this? And he's like, I'm like 6 months. He's like, just keep showing up for 5 years. And like, that's not what we want to hear. Right. But it's like, just keep showing. And he's like, I've been playing tennis for 20 freaking years, dude. And the cool part about it is I show up and it's just games. It's like positional and situational games. It's not like serving, but you get a shit ton of reps. And I'm like, oh, this is what this is about. You get a ton of reps. Right. And that's the thing, we all want to not have to get a ton of reps. Like, I wish I could be as strong and as jacked as Will without putting in as much freaking effort as Will has, right? And I'm not, you know, and like, I don't want to use that excuse. Will, I'm going to try this year. I'm going to get up to 220. I'm going to try as hard as I can, see where that goes. This was
my whole thing with surfing as well, like just with what Austin was saying, like very early on this year. I mean, one, just for my own surfing. Actually, no, I always knew that the answer was just like getting the fucking wave count up. but then just kind of being 1 foot in, 1 foot out with surfing S&C, because I started surfing S&C brand in 2020, but I just threw it in the bin because I was like, wait, none of this shit's ever improved my surfing. It's like, it's made me a healthier person, but like the only thing that makes you a better surfer is surfing. But then all these other assholes have jumped in and created these bullshit surfing S&C brands. So I'm like, all right, I have to force my way into this space and take over it and dominate it somehow. And I don't believe in any of it. Like, I've got to have a thing. So like my whole thing is I'm going to be wave count guy. And my whole thing is like, F your surf skate, F your strength training, F all your surf specific training. We get your wave count up. And if we can't get your wave count up, our only other protocol is we get you in the pool and we get you swimming, because swimming will do something for your paddling, because a lot of people, just even when they're spending a lot of time in the ocean, they're just bobbing around, like they're not actually getting waves and being aggressive and stuff like that. So like,
yeah,
like you just can always simplify. And just one other thing that popped into my head, just talking about like any coach who says, like, I've said this as well, like, you know, as a coach, you got to be your own scientist. But we're not even fucking doing that, because you get coaches and they're like, I've got this new methodology and it's producing better results. And you're like, based off fucking what? Because no coach is A-B testing their squad.
They don't play fucking sports.
Just be like, okay, so all you guys who are paying me the same rate, you stay on the old protocol. The other half of the roster, you get the new protocol, and then we're going to measure the difference in the progress. It's like, no, coaches flip their methodology on their head. They still get roughly the same results, and they're like, everything's fucking changed. I'm like, man, like, this is so disingenuous. Like, I'm so fine with anyone saying, like, this is the results we got with the shit that we did. Don't come at me with this whole superiority thing. I'm like, no, we're all fucking... And this is the thing, everyone's like, results-based training. I'm like, mate, we're all getting fucking results. Like,
yeah.
If you're not getting results, like, what's doing? What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to start with, who do I want to start here with?
Will. We'll start with Will. I'm going to try and get into this computer here.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Do your best. Do your best. Let me know. All right. So because you, let's just clarify this for the 17 people that are going to watch this. The purpose of the weight room, Will, what is the purpose of the weight room for athletes and human beings?
To build physical qualities, get stronger, build some muscle. If you want to do some conditioning, build your aerobic system, improve outputs. Yeah, that's it.
What does that do for your ability to play football? What does it do to for your ability to play any sport?
Geez, it allows you to it allows you to apply the newly acquired muscle mass and strength capabilities into your specific context. How's that, does that work? Is that a good enough answer?
That's a way better answer than freaking most people. What most people think is happening is like, oh, because I got stronger, I'm just going to be a better football player. And it's no, being stronger allows you to get more reps on the football field. That's how I think about it. Does that make sense? Like if you're stronger mm-hmm. and you're more robust, you have the opportunity to play more. Like I'm 36. I don't give a shit about that, but I've been playing morning basketball and I'm in general good shape. I can run around. Like the only reason I'm scoring at all is because I'm running around in circles and these other dudes are getting tired. And then I can like get in a position to make a layup. That's literally what happens. Right. So I think that's huge because it's the same thing. If you're a freaking mom of like my wife's, she's like being a little bit strong. It wasn't that she did anything. She's a pelvic floor physical therapist and she's good at her job. She realizes that just helping women get stronger helps them have a baby better. It's not that yeah. like it's just being a stronger human being allows it things to be easier. So in that regard, Mark Ribito's freaking right, right? Like just it makes you harder mm-hmm. to kill, it makes you better.
When Angus, the baby's the ultimate linear progression.
I absolutely love Mark Ribito. I'm a total rip yeah. simp.
I don't love his takes on anything besides strength and conditioning. And I think he's probably I actually know a few people that know him and he's just a jerk. He could just be nicer and you would like him a lot more, but like, that's just who he is. Right. So Angus, yeah. what's your take on it? What's your take on what's the weight room for? And it doesn't have to deviate too much from Will's, but.
Obviously like fascicle length changes, mechano transduction, improving athlete, amortization. It's just like just having a stronger body is more useful and it's just not any deeper than that. And I am also just like so not interested in even like having debates with people who think it is deeper than that. And like it's not even like nihilism. Like I think it can do a lot for some people, but it's not going to do a lot for everyone for every pursuit. But like I'm a big believer in strength training. People don't like to say like you have beliefs, like people yeah. want facts and stuff, but like generally speaking, based on my experience and what I've seen in my athletes, it's just like I feel like it's not for my surfing, but like, you know, when I try to run over the top of one of my mates when I'm playing park footy and stuff like that, I really feel it there. But I just think it promotes health. Like I think we've all worked with athletes that are just chronically getting injured. And again, like I roll my eyes at the whole injury prevention conversation, but I do think that a deliberate dose of stress, whether it's the weight room or not, just makes humans a bit more resilient or improves performance. And the weight room is just like another place where I can dose stress. And what I like, the advantage of the weight room is that we are so in control and we can give such a relative precision dose of that compared to like, you know, playing a game of soccer and like, you know, how hard are they going to play that?
Yeah, no. I mean, I think people, this is the one thing that I read a lot of shit on neuroscience and everything is just belief. Like even the top neurosciences in the world, it's just like, you're just constructing what you think the world is, which is like, I'm not talking to like bullshit mindset. I'm just saying like, you're literally telling yourself, I think Yoakam did a good job with some felt self-fulfilling prophecy type of shit earlier this year. It's just, you're just creating self-fulfilling prophecies. Right. But I think there is a reality of like being stronger and being more capable. This is why I think plyos and sprints have made me feel astronomically better from the waist down than I did a year ago at this time. And it's because like the ground contacts, like my feet feel better. You know, I have a lot of things, my joints feel better. And it's like, because it's a different stimulus than just like squatting. Not that that's a bad stimulus. It's just different. Right. All right, Yoakam.
Oh, we're in the fucking studio now, boys. We're ready to drop some heat. The strength conditioning thing, this is probably one of the biggest 180s I've had. And again, because of softball, because like I was pretty set on like the strength, like the weight room doesn't matter as much because I was really fucking good in this weight room, like relatively, like really good in the weight room. And I was fucking trash at softball, trash at a lot of the sports I was playing. It had nothing to do with the weight room. Like I was like faulting the weight rooms, like taken away from there. It was
I didn't practice my sport at fucking all. I put all of my energy in the weight room, and then I faulted the weight room for sucking at the sport. It's like, I don't know. It's like the same. It's like the baseball guy. It's the exact opposite world where all they do is swing, and then you put them underneath a barbell, and like, well, you fucking suck at squatting. Like, it must be the baseball. So it's like, no, you don't squat. And that was the biggest thing. It's like, once I got good at a swing, like I put enough reps in, now I'm starting to get the weight room numbers up. I notice a massive fucking difference, a massive difference. As my OLLI lifts are going up, my exit velos are directly going up. How I feel on the field is directly going up. And it does matter. The only reason it didn't matter before and the reason I was like so like stuck in that thought process is I sucked at the sport and I didn't want to admit I sucked at the sport. You know, like I wanted to put the blame other places other than, dude, you're not practicing what you need to practice. And I think that's why, like, even like the OLLI lifts, I like was thinking about this rant. It's like, I went so far away from OLLI lifts, not because of what OLLI lifts were, but it was because what OLLI lifts were promised for me. And they were told, if I cleaned this number, I was going to the league. And I cleaned 350 pounds and was a 7-string fucking fullback. And I was like, OLLI lifts are trash because you told me this and it's not there. And it's like, it's not OLLI lifts that are trash. It's the messaging we put around this. It's like, you're not practicing your sport. You're putting it all into that one thing. And I think that's the thing with the methodologies is like, there's so much good stuff. Like, I wish I had not stopped OLLI lifting. And I wouldn't have stopped OLLI lifting if I wasn't promised bullshit behind it. Like, if I wasn't promised this strict number led to this strict result. If I was just told the truth, like, OLLI lifts are really good. They're a really good stimulus for you, but you still have to practice your sport. You still have to work on these things. And you should probably spend more time where you suck, spend a little less time there. And it would have been a beautiful balance. But all of my strength coaches growing up were very much in like, kind of like the Riptoe, the really hard OLLI lifting crowds where it was like, and it's because all they knew. And it like, I can't really fault them. They're really good coaches, especially in those categories. I don't want to like throw shade at them at all. It was just the sports side of thing. There was much less of a bridge. There was much less of a strength coach here. Like, I think every coach on this call has a much more of a bridge between the weight room and the field than what was talked about when I was growing up. And I just got turned off because I thought it was all a lie. And it wasn't the lifts that were a lie. It was the messaging behind the lifts. And that's why I'm so against the new waves of coaches like saying, again, this methodology is what changed everything. It's like, no, that's not it. It's like you showed up to the weight room, you had belief in what you were doing, and then you practiced your sport or you were a good enough athlete to get away from it. And we can just be all right with that. Like we don't need the one answer. We don't need OLLI lifts are trash. OLLI lifts are amazing. Like there can just be the middle ground of there's really good stuff here that we can all use. Why are we throwing that out the window?
Yeah. No,
it's like we're vegetable salesmen. Like it's like, and then like people like, oh, I've got to make up like superpowers to convince people to eat veggies. Yeah. It's like, man, veggies are already awesome. Like, and how good is it? They're so abundant and accessible. And like, we don't have to hype it up any more than that. It's like,
yeah, because it turns people off, dude. Like once, like again, like it can get some people in the door. Absolutely, like that's a beautiful. The nutrition side is such a beautiful thing. It's like, dude,
and have
stop.
Your range of veggies as well. It's like, well, I just sell the purple and the green ones, and you can get the fucking orange ones from some other guy down the street if you're into that shit. And like, I'm like, I respect that as well.
The average consumer is overwhelmed. And the average 16-year-old boy wants, and like I've been consuming more of Tim Riley's training content, right? And Tim Riley's pushing training like an athlete. Well, like, what the fuck does that mean? And like, not this is not against Tim Riley. That's just what attracts his demographic, right? And so it's like, well, train like an athlete. Well, you're a 17-year-old boy. You don't need to train necessarily like fucking, I don't know. You don't necessarily just like you don't. Top level athletes can do whatever the fuck they want. And as long as they're healthy, they're probably going to be okay. Right. Whereas like, if you're a 17-year-old boy who squats 135 pounds, you need to fucking get your squat up and keep sprinting and like, you know, and not necessarily be doing a bunch of goofy shit that looks cool. Right. So, I'm going to take this back to, well, I'm going to start with, who did I start last time? Doesn't fucking matter. All right. A couple questions were oriented around like who to learn from. So like essence, I don't really care if you guys give me books or anything like that. I said, I'm learning from you guys. I'm learning from a lot of people, but who are the takes? Who are the people that you're like, this person is somebody that I would trust. And it's like, and maybe even who would you not want to take stuff? Give me a couple that are like, these are good takes and these are bad takes.
You want us to say names of bad takes?
Wendy. Bad take number one.
Wendy.
That girl,
yes.
Wendy's
Wendy.
Pretty hot though.
Don't say, oh man. I don't
bro, she necessarily... has some crazy eyes. She has crazy eyes that would absolutely fall for. I was like, God,
this is the Strong and Kind podcast. All right, don't give me takes you don't, but give me ideas that you don't like.
He's ready to get canceled over here.
I mean, my brand, I'm, you know, I kindness does not mean niceness. I will say that. That's one of the things. I don't, kindness is not niceness.
Dude, I think Will does the best job of calling out names without, like, well, you have a phenomenal skill set at calling out an idea with a name behind it without getting mean. Like,
I really try to not personally insult people.
Yes. They're not, it's not a personal attack. It's like this mode of thinking needs to be changed. And I think that's what I appreciate too.
Like, I get too much into the humor route, and then I'm like, I'm just going to bust a fucking joke here, and then I get myself in trouble. I'm like, God damn it, bro. That's not what that was. I'll start with that. I honestly, this is going to sound like such a bullshit. Will's probably going to fucking hate this answer, but I literally think you can learn from everybody. And in the sense of, like, you learn trash, bro. Like, I'm telling you the number one thing for my business was signing up for an ATG program. 1,000,000% by far. Cause I saw their website and I saw, cause my big thing was
I knew you were going to say that. I had that intuition that you went there.
I'm literally telling you, my app, everything, like, it changed my business behind it, because it's like, this program is so fucking trash. Like, the actual program, I fucking ran this program. It's trash. I'm like, how do they have so many clients? I go to their website. I see their process. I see how they keep their clients. I see how they get them engaged. I see how they gamify it. I'm like, this is what the magic is there. And I think a lot of coaches get so butthurt at other coaches that they can't, like, learn those pieces. But I was like, I don't know. That, like, I think,
can I say this? In our day and age, not learning to put out content is you being, I don't want to say lazy, you being afraid. Because it's like, we all, I mean, I don't have as big a following as you guys, but I also think, like, I'm going to keep it growing and it's served my business well. But you're just being a pussy. Sorry, I shouldn't use that. You're just being afraid of
being a pussy.
Putting out, you're just being afraid to just put out your ideas and marketing.
Dude, people used to go to war.
What?
People still go to war.
Post on social media.
And like, yeah, like, yeah. And because I get it. Like, I understand the situation that people create in their heads. They're like, there's going to be so many people seeing this and judging me. I'm like, no, like, you don't have to worry about that either. Like, you got no followers. Like, it's going to be your mate down the street be like, oh, you got a shit opinion on bicep curls. And it's like, I can never post on IG again. It's like,
Angus,
fucking
Angus,
hell.
Like, when was the last time, like, somebody called a post out of yours from, like, 2 years ago?
Even that, like, this is probably this year I got the most blowback I've ever got, but the algorithm runs on glaze. Like, no matter how controversial you are, the only thing that makes the algorithm function is glaze. No one's getting that many negative comments that it's driving their post to virality. So it's like, at max, you get like 10% of blowback on the worst, most controversial shit that you've ever said in your life.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, you're still talking about strength and conditioning. You're like,
you get
not talking.
Called out by some homeless guy that trains in a car park and doesn't have fucking clients and his knees are shot, so he won't even go into an Olympic lifting contest against you. But
I hope
we don't have to go into that.
No, let's not go into that because I know we all know.
Atlas, I know your knees are shot. Accept the challenge, you cuck lord. You got no knee ability. Fucking pussy.
All right. All right. I knew it was going to happen. I'm okay with it. Will, I guess what's the number one bad take? This is maybe what we can do. All right. Number one bad take that's like a philosophy that people buy into. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I write some of these things down because it's...
Will's got his call out list here.
I use it to like make content. So here, one. I do have one off the top of my head. And I know, I think I talked about this with Tim Riley on the Coach Him Up podcast, but like, all right. I don't consider myself an influencer. I don't know if you guys would consider yourself influencers or not.
No.
But
I mean, I do because when I post a certain reel, I see a bunch of people doing that exercise. And I feel like you are influential by definition.
Okay.
But I understand the implication because people will use it as an insult to any
right.
coach
that was my
who
point.
Does have followers.
That's my point is like, there will be people who use the word influencer as a pejorative. And it's like, I think it's kind of cool that I can put out content and people are influenced by it. So like you're trying to insult me, but I'm not taking it as an insult. And there's one specific post I remember. This was from, so Mike Wadango put out on Twitter something about like Jefferson curls and like, why are you loading it so heavy or something? And I've put out some content of heavy Jefferson curls. And Mike even like put a video of me in his clip. And he wasn't saying anything insulting about me. He was just kind of like making a generic statement, like, why are you doing this? And so if you guys know who William Wayland is, he commented on Mike's post saying something about how it's all like performative for these influencers trying to get clicks, trying, and it's like, anyone who's in the online space, of course there's some sort of performance aspect. We are like,
I mean, sorry, Waylon's
we're
weak
it's
as piss. I've
infotainment.
never
It's
seen a guy with
infotainment.
that much muscle contractile tissue be so weak.
Who's that, William Wayland?
Yeah. It's
Oh.
like he has no CNS. He was a man born without a CNS. Like,
Well,
because he's big, but he just can't fucking
but
get
also,
anything going. His
Will, on
max
your point
RDL is less
there,
than
too.
mine.
Your point there, that comment is made to get clicks.
Yes,
You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
that comment
You're
is
starting a
literally made
fight.
to do the
Yes,
same thing they're talking about.
because this
yeah,
is
it's
why it
like,
comes.
so like using the word influencer as a pejorative when you yourself are also using social media to put out ideas, that annoys me. And then trying to act as though even though people are using social media to put out a message, of course I'm specifically choosing certain clips of mine to put on Instagram. I'm putting out the best looking ones. Of course, there's a performance aspect to it. It's not dishonest. It's not disingenuous. I'm not like somehow less noble of a person because I'm choosing like the clips that make me look better than the clips that make me look worse. You know what I mean? So that's one that I hadn't remembered. I said this, was it yesterday we were on with you, Austin, or was that 2 days ago? I don't
2 days
know.
ago, yeah.
Another really bad take that I've seen, and I've seen it more recently, is the if you suck at your sport, it doesn't matter how strong you are. It's like, what? It's up. It's that's backwards. If you suck at your sport, you need to rely more on physical qualities. Another really bad take that I've seen, and this was on Justin Lima's podcast. Some psycho, I don't even know who this woman was. She said something about how, like, if your diet isn't very good, it doesn't matter what supplements you take. It's like, what? No, that's also backwards. If you're consuming all of the correct macros and minerals and vitamins, then the supplements become less important. Like, they're supplements for a reason because they're there to supplement your inadequate diet. Oh, I'm sorry. That was my rant. It's like, it's such a low IQ take when I hear like someone say, well, if you're not getting enough protein in, and it doesn't matter how much protein powder you're taking, like, of course, what? No, that's when you should be taking protein powder to supplement your lack of protein
Well,
intake.
and I this is the thing I think too. All of us are, and not like again, we're gonna have like posts that are probably like they're gonna be quote unquote not a great take sometimes because you're literally trying to put out content so that you can learn. Like it's a learning process, meaning like you're putting out your ideas and sometimes you're gonna be wrong. All right, or at least you're gonna have new information come to light, right? But like the whole argument with exercises is what's so dumb about that is like you a human has the physical capacity to do Jefferson curls with like 495 pounds. That's fucking awesome. Like that is literally the cool, like super freaking cool. And for somebody to just be like, this is bad for you when you've just literally proved that like I've developed the physical capacity to do this and like you may, yes, you can't do that. Like, you know, like, yeah, guy, 40-year-old guy, you can't, you're not going to be able to do this. But you bending your spine, like, just to pick up an object off the ground is objectively okay for you, right? Just have, nobody's going to make that connection except for maybe me right here. But like, this is the point is you, the human body's really adaptable. And for somebody to come in and shit on that, I think what is stupid as hell, right? So
You
I
want a
ranted there.
list of bad takes? Fucking follow Mike Boyle on Twitter. Holy fuck,
True.
dude.
True.
Like this, oh my God, dude. Like I've been trying to stay out of it for my own peace, but like his adult, like his virtue signal, like he will put out the most inflammatory post of all time. Then he gets blowback from it. Then he goes on his Twitter thing and acts like this old fucking innocent grandpa and like, dude, I don't know why people are so mad about this. It's like, dude, you purposely poked the bear. Like, and that's okay. I don't care if you purposely poke the bear. If that's your content strategy, fucking go for it. Do it. You do not on the back end then get the virtue signal. And then I look at these comments and it's like all these other, it's like, yeah, they just don't respect it. They just don't know like the impact you've had on them. It's like, oh my God, dude, it makes me want to blow my brains out. When I was at St. Thomas, I got my very first experience of like the Boyleism strength coaches. When I was in this, I was like in an office, we hired like four other strength coaches when we went to the Division One level. And these coaches would just like pull up Kier's page. Like Kier's was their big one. He's like, this dude's just a fucking troll. Like, oh, look at this. He doesn't even fucking train. I'm like, guys, like, he's putting out fucking, like, way more, he has way more of an influence on the field than you guys ever will, ever. You guys will never touch the impact he's had in one post. And you guys are just hating on it to hate on it. And then we're going out there and running fucking dead bugs and bird dogs for 40 minutes with our fucking Division I athletes. Like, oh my God, dude, the virtue signaling and like the hate, dude, it drives me. It's like this weird, like, I don't know. The mindset for some coaches in the strength conditioning field around social media, it just drives me nuts. It's not real. Like, it's not real. And then they get it backed up by other people that aren't being real. It's like 100 virtue signals just back and forth. It drives me insane.
All right, Angus, bad takes. Keep it under 7 minutes here. And
okay. One of the things I'm most proud of getting called out for lately that's been deeply resonating with me is people keep calling me out saying that I'm oversimplifying things. But like, all my clients are fucking going sick. And like, all the people I educate, they seem to like get reduced friction around getting results with their clients. So I'm like, how is this a fucking attack? But and because how it's being framed is nihilism. And it's not, it's just optimism. It's like, man, so much of this shit works. Not nothing matters. There's actually so many things that matter. And because I think, again, it's because a lot of coaches just living in the B world. And a lot of the things that I'm saying matter less than what people think they matter is because I'm saying like this B, there's such a bigger world than this. It's like BPS. And then again, they go like, oh, so you're saying it's all psychosocial, all psychosomatic. I'm like, it's not what I fucking said. I said it's BPS. And I know that this is a debate that's going to go down to the end of time because a lot of people, it is a bit of complex thinking. So it is a little bit to digest, but yeah, it's just perpetually gets strawmanned. It is in addition to you just trying to take in everything that creates the human experience. And then that allows you to make more effective training decisions. And again, other than nihilism or other than just being framed incorrectly as just like this completely psychosocial approach, any sort of respect for psychosocial factors is always framed as like being soft, but there's this complete other part to it where it's just like, no, I am using this awareness to try to develop a bunch of dogs. It's not just about, oh, you're fucking feeling a bit rough today, so like, you know, make sure, you know, RPE 7, it's just whatever your RPE 7 is, doesn't matter what's on the bar. It's also like, well, yeah, if you're having a fucking good day, I know it says RPE 7, let's hit a fucking PR. like, there's this duality to it that just these old dickheads who can't entertain the complexity of it, they're like, oh, it's just this soft woke new age shit. It's like, man, no, like, yeah, it's whatever you make it. And like, if you're a little bitch and that's what you project onto it, by all means. But yeah, there just hasn't been anything that's helped me feel more in control and more precise with my decision-making process, but also just like not stressing about it. Cause also understanding that with all the chaos that these variables and the interplay between them provides, that you're never fully in control anyway. So
yeah, no, I mean, the BPS model is something that you learn obviously in like physical therapy school, but then everybody just kicks it aside. Whereas like, and part of why my business name is Strength and Kindness is because, well, first and foremost, I thought that Drake song One Dance, I thought he was saying strength and kindness, not strength and guidance. And I said that for like 2 years. And then my buddy's like, dude, he's not saying kindness. He's saying guidance. But
you don't want to be attached to Drake now anyways, dude.
I know, right? So
that's a good save.
That's not good. But dude, when you're interacting with humans, I worked in a hospital. I was a personal trainer and I worked in a hospital before I went to PT school. People just need to be, they need you to be kind to them. Nobody wants to be in a hospital, right? And I'm not saying that, like in the weight room, the things were like, I went into the weight room as a 13-year-old kid and nobody, like if you would have just taken a freaking box, and I don't give a shit about this now, but I do obviously, and just had me squat to a box as opposed to like, hey, put this bar on your back and like fucking try to figure out how this do, I would have gotten a lot stronger by just modifying training instead of making it in this super complex thing. Like, or just being told you're just not good at squatting, right? So just that's where the psychosocial stuff comes in over and over again, is like helping manipulate the science of training with the art of like working with another human being, right? And too many
people, and all the good coaches do it intuitively, even all the ones that shit on it or who strawman it as the PS model, like they'll all say things like, oh, well, you know, I know this variation's not optimal, but I just like it. I'm like, BPS, you dickhead. You fucking dickhead.
Well, literally, the only people not doing it are the missies of the world. Are the people tweeting out, we all have the same 24 hours. And all they do is just create that echo chamber. Like, well, those are literally the only people not doing it. Everybody else, you literally, if you have a personality, you're working with another personality and you're working on these things naturally. Like, if you're just not a brain dead human, like, you're going to be doing these things.
Well, so that takes us to like the what matters. But I also think like Austin's gym is a good model of. People will play spike ball hard for 20 minutes and then they'll go lift harder. Whereas like that used to be like, well, that's like a stupid warm up. It doesn't do anything. And it's like, no, it's the fucking best warm up there is. Just putting forth effort and having fun for 20 minutes is like is super good. Like, that's why I love your concept, Austin. Like, and that's why I don't think I could start a normal gym now, because I see what yours is. Like, this is what it is.
The cult.
It just needs to be play. It's just play and then lift weights, right? But okay, so we'll go to Will. I got two questions and then we'll wrap this up. This one is what matters, Will, in your brain.
Jeez. Well, see, I don't want to say like consistent effort because that's just so obvious.
I know,
that's
what I was gonna say too. I was like, fuck,
what do I answer?
Like, that's a good one.
It's like that. That's like the obvious answer, and it's also a way to let. What matters is finding enjoyment, I guess. This is something like with my wife. So we have a Peloton bike, a Peloton treadmill. We have a full like gym, like squat rack, Olympic bar, power bar, medicine. Like, we have a full gym in our garage, and like my wife struggles sometimes like following consistent training plans. And it's like, because she doesn't know what she really likes. Like, she played college volleyball at UND, so she's been through like a serious strength and conditioning program, and it probably burned her out from doing, she just probably doesn't want to do cleans and squats anymore. And it's like, she has these like waves of training for a few weeks and then slacking off, training and slacking. It's like, you got to find something that you like so that you actually go in and do it consistently. So, and then like Austin does a really good job with this, is like making a gamifying your training so that you have more to pursue than just the thing that you're doing. Like, how can you actually make whatever activity you're doing, how can you make it a game so that you can pursue, like push yourself to the edge of your ability of that thing? So like, An example would be like, you like doing plyos. You like doing hurdle jumps, or this is so like surface level now that I'm like thinking about.
But
it,
even but just like, dunking, just
no,
me
but it's applicable.
Just me trying to dunk on a 9-foot hoop, which is fucking lackluster. But me dunking on a 9-foot hoop is super fun, right? And it gives context to the why am I getting better at this. And then the other thing is, I think all three of you, but like, there was a phase that I went through. It's like, if you're doing anything outside of lifting, you're sacrificing what you're lifting is going to do. Like, I was only doing starting strength, right? Well, it's like, actually, the complementary nature of like playing basketball or playing tennis has helped me put forth more effort, right, into the stuff that's in the gym, and it's made it more fun. And even if you don't make as fast as gain, like, who cares? That's such a bullshit thing. Like,
yeah, who cares? That's why, dude, that's why I make fun of the people who make fun of Squattober and who make fun of I've never done Squattober or Deadcember. Like, I will at some point, I'm sure. But people are like, well, that's not the optimal way to build your squat. Like, that's not the optimal way if you want to be an athlete. Like, the reason people do Squattober is because it's fun. And, it helps people keep going. And so...
Well, that's in the gamification piece. That's the thing that gets butchered all the time. Like, Fowler like strawmans this all day. Like, his whole thing is like, you're wasting all.
Once a week,
bro. Like, it blows my mind. But his, like, where you talk about the gamification piece, Will, you just put out a post about the density sets. Like, that's a game that you put four different ways you can gamify it, right? You're like, more reps, more weight, less time, more time, like all of this stuff that you can do. Like, that's a gamification piece. It's literally just putting 1% of your brain into how can I make this not suck? And now we're getting 100% more work done, right? Like, you made that post on density training. I'm like, that's fucking amazing. Like, that's a gamification of weightlifting. That's amazing. I know my athletes are going to eat that up rather than just giving them like, but the gamification piece can also just be PRs, right? Like, that's another way to do it. But as you get stronger, it's harder to like get that dopamine hit from that straight PR, and you're finding different variables to be able to do that. And that was one of the best ways. It was like, that's the perfect example of how you gamify without just making it like a movement yogi thing. Like, it's just using your brain to make the thing not suck while still getting a shitload of work done.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I love that. Angus, what do you got? What matters? You've already kind of done this, but what else? What matters?
Target tissue, proximity to failure, and buy-in.
That's a good answer. Very well done.
At first, I was like, is that just for strength training? But even with the plyos, like, and even with your conditioning, there is this proximity to failure that's always sort of my reference point for dosing intensity. And like, if you like it, you try hard. I feel like that's, if I had to summarize it all,
Yeah. Well, I mean, Will's just the effective reps and that methodology is like, that's helped me. You have to auto-regulate, right? And there is this greed. I'm mediocre at all this shit. But there
is effective reps, just like you're just counting the slow ones.
You're just basically saying, like, was that enough of a stimulus to help me move in the right direction?
I reckon it's pretty good.
Like, yeah.
It's about as basic if
It's like the most simple, basic, and effective framework to view strength training through.
Yeah. Did that do something for me? If no, add more weight or do more, right? If it did, then cool, right? And that's what I want to help the people I work with realize, that like, not every day is going to be freaking, you're not going to PR, because so many people think like, I got to PR something, or I got to have a great freaking day, and then they get all frustrated. And it's like, no, just, it's not going to be like that, right? So, all right, best way to grow an audience, in your opinion, not the way you've done it. Start fights, have really good content, show your butt, be a hot girl. What's the best way to grow an audience in each of your take? And this is a few questions from multiple people. They're like, how do I grow my business or whatever? So let me know. Angus, you can go first.
Yeah, I'll go for, because as well, like, I work with other coaches as well. Like, and this is something I've had to sort of discuss with like females as well, who are good coaches. And they're like, do I get the butt out occasionally to get him going? Or will all those people just jack off to my photos and never buy a program? And I think it's like, you never want to go all in on that. Like, you never want to go all in on butt, or all in on like, yeah, I'm just a big jacked guy and you should try to be like me. But if you have a good base and you have very valuable content, just salt baying that on a little bit. And so I sort of do it with my sense of humor and stuff like that, I guess. Because there's sort of that triangle. So it's like, and it's like, you can be dry, but it's like, you better have the best and the most impactful information. Otherwise, you know, you're going to need to use the platform appropriately. So, and I would say that, like, you know, like, cause when I do, nothing grows my following. Like, when I sort of see someone just saying dumb things about exercise, and then I sort of sandwich myself in between that. And I know it gets me some quality followers, but I definitely get an uptick in the people who are just like, oh, you respond to Atlas today. Oh, you respond to Jeff today. I'm like, mate, like, if you are only here for this stuff, you know, you're only going to be having fun 20% of the time with my content. Because 80% of the time, I'm just trying to make you train and better.
Is those people aren't gonna buy anything from you. Not to say that like, we're just trying to sell shit, because I think some of it, if you want Instagram or any of these things to be meaningful, you should like be trying to serve. And I know that sounds cliche, but you are you're trying to put out something that you think is meaningful, right? Yeah, 100%. Let's go, Yoakum. What do you got? What's your social media growth strategy?
Yeah, that was probably the biggest shift into like 2024 this past year. It's like, it's the same thing as a squat, same thing as a gym. It's like, you need to make content you enjoy making. Like, stop chasing, like, big, like, God, dude, the amount of consults. I have like 3 consults a week where it's like, well, should I do hashtags? Should I do this? It's like, you got to make content. You got to do content. And the way to make content is to enjoy making content. And then like, the other piece of advice is like, live a life worth recording, and then just fucking record it. I think Will does the best job of that. Like, and it's the most organic, beautiful content. You're not having to like, and I'm not saying there's nothing negative with coming up with creative things. That's fun. That's a piece of the art. But it's like, I think your life should be cool enough to press record. Press record, say, do whatever you're doing, put it out to the universe, and like, enjoy living that life. And I think it's a beautiful cycle of like, people talk about like shit on social media and how negative it is, and it can be, but anything can be fucking negative if you use it as a negative tool. It's like, social media has made my life 1,000,000 times cooler than it would be without social media. I would never talk to any of you guys. I would have never met any of you guys without that, right? Like, and it's such a cool, like, live a life, record your life, post it, This gives you resources to live a cooler life. Record it, post it. That gives you more resources to live a cooler life. Record it, post it. You get better at it. It's a beautiful cycle if you use it the right way. And I think a lot of people shit on it for like because they're not using it the right way. They're using it to look at asses and inflammatory content. And if you use it that way, it's absolutely it will absolutely burn you out and fucking kill you inside. But if I mean, I enjoy it. I really try to enjoy the stuff that I put out. Long form content. Will, I wish I would have listened to you there with the YouTube stuff. Like, I fucking really enjoy that version of doing content. And if I enjoy it, it's a much better piece of content than if I'm just trying to push something out.
It also helps you learn. Like, I'm just learning, right? It's like when you're trying to articulate that, and yeah, all three of you have helped me with this. When you're trying to articulate, like, you can know something, but until you articulate it, nobody knows that you know it.
And dude, I listened to a season one of my podcast, and it makes me want to put a rope around my neck and jump off a plane, bro. Like, it was so bad. But, like, again, it has to be bad. You're not going to get better at it. And Will, obviously, with your YouTube videos, like, you're so fucking good at, like, getting it out there, but it's because it's a rep thing. Like, you can't get better at it without the reps of doing it.
Will,
nothing's helped me learn more than like putting out content, because like before I put something out, I better have real conviction of what I'm saying. If I don't, people are gonna see right through it. But I would just like echo everything Angus and Austin said. I don't know if I have much to add on. I guess like my strategy is I really try to not put out something that's like obvious or something that has been beat to death over the past 10 years, kind of like the five reasons you should be taking creatine, like stuff like that. Or I just hate that kind of stuff. I just like give real authentic takes and have like real convictions with what you're saying, be the number one thing. And then I don't have much of a strategy, I guess. Like on Instagram, a couple posts are always just going to be me training without me saying much. Just like, this is what I did today. And then I try to put out one or two like informational pieces but the thing with like the informational pieces is maybe I do a shitty job. I don't know. I really try to like, again, put out authentic, genuine takes where like today I talked about density sets. I'm sure a lot of people have like heard about what a density set is, but I try to give an authentic take about it. And like, I don't know.
But such a beast that like, even if hype, you've never said anything where I've read it and be like, this is so fucking stupid. But even if I did, all it would tell me is that whatever is true about that doesn't matter that much, because
there
you are thinking the way that you do, doing what you do, you know. I'm just like, all right, fucking that works.
Yeah.
All right, I got to get out of here. I got a client coming in 18 minutes, so I got to get out of here, but appreciate it, David, Austin, Angus. You have a good rest of your day. We'll talk soon.
No, appreciate you. I'm going to wrap it up, sir, here in a second. I'm going to summarize that. You got to do the thing in all of it. It's like, it's so cliche, but like, you got to do the thing. You got to learn from it. And you got to, I'm 100% with this too. You got to enjoy the ride. And most people, I was writing about this because I'm getting into writing. I enjoy writing. It's a good way to articulate stuff. But most people are just complaining about life so much that they don't realize like all the things they could learn and how to enjoy the process. And it's the same with training. Just think about all the people who show up and are like, oh, my joints hurt. And it's like, well, then change something. Like, figure out how to do something different to make this, you know, better, right? Stop being a victim of it. And I know that I hate even that. But yeah. Hey, I appreciate you both. I appreciate Will. You guys can, I'll tag everybody. Angus is Angus Bradley 92 on Instagram, right? Angus Bradley 92.
Yeah, that's it.
Austin is Austin Joe. Are you just Austin? Austin Jokum. Austin Jokum. Yep. Sorry, said your name wrong. And then Will is Will Rattel. Will.Rattel. Everybody's on Instagram. Everybody else on this has various websites and stuff that you can find. I'll link those. Yeah, you guys have good takes. I appreciate it. And peace.
Dude, fucking love it. Appreciate you.
That was fun. Thank you, everyone.